Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from E2 Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ETU. We are chatting with both Eric Owens, President and CEO of E2 Gold, as well as Ellie Owens, Vice President and Co-Founder of E2 Gold. Now, the company did release a news release December 3rd entitled E2 Gold Identifies McKinnon Zone at Depth, Delayed Assays Still Pending. Now, within the news release, it states that E2 Gold has completed about 7,500 meters of the planned 10,000-meter drill program. Sounds like most of these meters are still at the assay labs, but the importance here, I think, is that you have identified this McKinnon zone at depth. Eric, let's bring you in first, just with a quick overview of the goals around this 10,000-meter program that is coming to the later stages here.
Yeah, thanks. So the whole purpose of this round of drilling, our second round of drilling since we became a publicly traded company, is really trying to define the footprint of the McKinnon Zone, which is our inferred resource. And as you and your listeners will recall, it's a shallow level inferred resource up in the upper 150 meters. It's open along strike and down below. Our first drill program early in the year was really a confirmation drill program, and it was aimed at trying to confirm the historical drilling that was by Falconbridge that was done back in the 1980s. That was a success. We consider that. So this is really the first attempt at trying to see whether or not this current inferred resource, which is about 328,000 ounces of gold, can be turned into something much larger. So we're just trying to figure out, does this zone continue at depth and along strike, and therefore, if so, can it be turned into a much larger gold deposit? That's really our goal here.
Well, it'll be interesting to follow along with the assays as they start coming back in. But Ellie, I know we had talked off mic and you'd mentioned that there are a few targets beyond just the deep drilling and beyond just the long strike where you guys are still testing some new targets. Maybe walk us through what the drill's doing there.
Sure. So yeah, as Eric said, the McKinnon Zone really is our focus, but we do have an 80 kilometer long property package with lots of great geologic targets on it and a number of historic prospects that have never been drill tested. And some of those historic prospects are along trend of the McKinnon Zone, but some are off trend, and including one that's just to the north of the McKinnon Zone and has a pretty interesting geophysical signature to it. We took some airborne surveys that we did last fall and reprocessed them and got some interesting anomalies. So we're drill testing those as well. And then some of those historic prospects that are just along strike of the McKinnon Zone. So not everything focused on the McKinnon Zone, but the majority of our drilling is there. And sort of our goal is to, at the same time as building out this resource, try and make sure that we're enhancing some of the other targets on the property as a risk management strategy, really.
So Ellie, when it comes to some of these other targets, what type of mineralization are you aiming for? What is the overall strategy in terms of what you would consider a success?
That's a great question. So in one of the targets kind of to the west, that's our Goldfields target. It's different than the McKinnon Zone. The McKinnon Zone is sort of a quartz sericite schist, which is, as we've often commented, similar to the Hemlo style of mineralization. But this one to the west is actually more of a VMS style. And so in terms of what a success would look like, we're not really necessarily aiming for any particular style of deposit. Just, of course, you want to see gold grades that are associated with it. So yeah, Eric, if you have anything to add there, go ahead.
I'll just add, as Ellie noted, it's a big property, and we sort of have a plan or mentality here amongst management that we envision over the next 12 months to really be focused in and around the McKinnon and McKinnon style mineralization. But because it's such a big property, we always want to be thinking about what's out there. And because mostly it's virgin territory, this is a property that once you get beyond the McKinnon Zone, there's been very little work done over the generations and over the decades. So we're trying to take new technologies and new geologic thought and apply them to these areas. We hold the broader part of this greenstone belt, and clearly something that has potential, it just needs a little TLC in our efforts. We're focused on gold, but we look at anomalies under such situations. We just look for anomalous areas because that's what's going to drive us to decide where to put a drill rig.
And with these sort of these newer targets, really at this point in time, you're just looking for anomalous gold. Of course, you'd love to see massively high grades, but we wouldn't expect to see that this early stage. You just want something to kind of allow you to hone in on, are we starting to get into sort of an interesting new gold zone here? And so something even over at one gram per ton over a couple meters, that'd be very interesting.
Well, and Eric, you had mentioned some of the new technology, and this is the great part about looking at these deposits with a fresh set of eyes. You guys did fly a pretty big airborne geophysics program and did an IP survey. Do you want to walk people through that are new to the story, you know, why you did that, what you found, and how that may inform some of these drill targets you have?
Yes, we are all about extracting every piece of modern information we possibly can from our work because it's costly to get out there and do all this work, especially drilling. We're doing downhole geophysical and teleoptical surveys down a select number of holes after we finish drilling these things to get better structural data, for instance. The magnetic survey that we just completed was off to the big block of claims on the western side of our main focused area, the McKinnon zone, that is. And it's a big block of rock, which little is known except generalities. And from a geological point of view, we have the confluence of two major fault zones and or shear zones, which for us means complicated geology. And that means good for gold deposits, good for finding gold. And it happens to be in an environment similar to the Hart Gold Sugar Zone mine, which is on the other side of a major granitic rock that we find at the western end of our property. So we're really interested in this area. The airborne mag survey is the first step in our minds. And whenever we go into a new area, an airborne mag survey, especially in the boreal forest up in northern Ontario, where you have limited outcrop, an airborne mag survey is, in my mind, the best and probably first step, apart from getting a geologist out there with prospecting and prospectors and doing some initial mapping and prospecting. So this is the first step for us going down the path of determining drill hole pads or drill hole targets. This will then be added on or layered on over with other information like further geophysics. And that data is still being processed, by the way. We're still working through the processing of that survey. We've had it re-looked at by a geophysicist in Australia, in fact, who's well known for some of his thoughts on these things. And now the next step will be to take that information and focus in on certain areas that we like from those anomalies and do follow-up work, both detailed mapping and more geophysics. And that'll probably be induced polarization to help hone in even further for drill targets. And we're hoping to have those types of studies certainly by the end of the summertime, because we won't be able to get out there and do geology until summer, but we'll have the IP work on that property probably done by spring. I would imagine some things in the springtime period to help us further hone in on drill targets.
Ellie, let's bring you back in here quickly. Just a quick comment on the delays here in the assay results. Is this impacting any of the drilling of this current program?
Well, short answer is no, long answer is a little bit, but our current drill program, fortunately, each drill hole was designed to be independent from each other. So we're able to complete this current drill program without our assay results. It would be nice to know assays, of course, because if we hit something really great, well, then maybe we would have rerouted our rigs and put them on that high grade section. But for the most part, all of our holes are independent of each other. We did originally start off with two drill rigs, though, and we were drilling a little bit too fast, and so decided to move one down for, you know, the Christmas break a little bit early, but we'll be able to bring them on back in the winter when we start developing some of these new targets that Eric was talking about then and that I was talking about earlier. So fortunately, we've been able to kind of continue our drill program. And we have done a couple of other things to mitigate the situation with the assays. We've contracted another lab, bring them on. We've changed a bit of our sampling process to try and make sure we're sending smaller batches more frequently. And we're also using, we spent a lot of time in the winter, last winter in that drill program, making sure our geologists were very familiar with the visual indicators of the gold zone, which includes black light fluorescence on indicator minerals like scheelite. And that's allowed us to really hone in on the zone and then rush those samples forward. So we're making sure that we're trying to mitigate the situation as best as possible.
Can you just summarize, Ellie, I guess, takeaways from this news release, what you guys have learned about this project so far, please?
Yeah, thanks. So one of the things we wanted to emphasize in this press release is, you know, a lot of investors often think the only thing that we can understand of deposits are assays, but really we have so many other tools to help us understand what we're seeing underground. And one of the things that we were trying to do with this drill program, of course, is try and see where the footprint of this McKinnon zone is. And in all of the deep holes we've hit, we've seen the indicators, the markers, the geologic markers of the McKinnon zone at depth. And so that's one of the biggest questions that we wanted to answer from this drill program. And we're very pleased with that. Really, the assays are there to just sort of help us hone in on where the high grades are and tell us what the grade is. But we've seen the geologic signatures of the zone trending downward. And so that's very exciting for us.
We'll keep following along, waiting for some of these assay results to come in. I know you're not alone in that, it's a sector-wide problem where everybody is waiting on assay results. But just remind people real quick, Eric, what's the budget that the company had on this program, and how much cash in the bank does the company still have to continue drilling?
So we have the initial budget on the drilling was, for the deep drill holes, we estimated $2.2 to $2.5 million, plus the additional step-out holes, another $500,000 probably. We've spent probably just about that much, a little less than that. We have $2.5 million left in the bank right now, which will certainly carry us through this program and then some, for a matter of fact. So yeah, we're doing okay.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here, but we're definitely going to follow up when you start to get back some of these assay results. Just wanted to bring everybody up to speed on the progress of the drill program and, again, recap some of the targets that are being drilled now. Eric, Ellie, appreciate the update here, and please keep us up to date when you do get some of those assay results back.
Great. Thank you, Corey and Chad as well. And we look forward to the next time.